Yep. This is a Scoop Audio interview with Andrew Little of the EPMU, the day after, I guess, the engineers kept their jobs. Will the workers left be doing the same amount of work?
Well, no. What will happen is the nature of the shift arrangements is that they're actually doing certainly less overtime than they were doing before. So fewer hours worked in any one year than they've been doing certainly the last few years.
What was the major sticking block with the Christchurch workers beforehand? Was it 6 days on and 3 days off, or was it a money situation?
I think it was mainly the six on, three off roster system or shift pattern. And so on Wednesday, the management down there had a meeting with the workforce directly to go through the issues. They've since now set up a group to look at how that pattern can be ameliorated so that people get, you know, the worst aspects of it, namely particularly the erosion of weekend time, and that is reduced, and that work's underway. The shift patterns aren't due to take effect until June this year, so there is a bit of time up people's sleeves to try and get the best out of that.
It's not too handy if you play sport on a Saturday, I guess, as a great number of New Zealanders do, or indeed you go to church on a Sunday.
Yeah, and I think one of the provisions that was agreed to is that obviously every effort has to be made to accommodate individual needs, and I think the working group that's been set up just in the last few days, one of their key aims and objectives is to do exactly that.
Now, the chap that designed the plan after Air New Zealand originally were going to sack 600 employees, Mr. Stiasny, is he a bit of a champion of the workers?
Well, he's his key line of work is in dealing with companies in receivership and liquidation. So he does that. His firm, Ferry Hodgson, provide business analysis advice, and so we use their expertise to go through the company's proposal, to go through the information that the company provided, through the 30 cartons of documents they provided, and to identify what other information we needed, our rank and file delegates needed, in terms of putting together the proposal that we came up with.
But he's not what you'd call a raving unionist or anything.
No, I don't think he's got any union background at all, but we're not using him for that. We had 20 rank-and-file delegates, we had union officials, but we needed some business analysis expertise, and that's what he and his firm were brought in for.
I'll just ask that because I was interested in why Air New Zealand decided that they need to get rid of 600 people, and then someone else looks at it for a couple of months and they decide, well, maybe we don't.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, part of the thing about this is that we know they got, they, Air New Zealand, in the last year or so, actually brought in two lots of consultants. One that said that there was a future for certainly wide-bodied maintenance, and that didn't appear to suit the company's agenda, and they brought in another set of consultants that said, no, the only option is outsourcing. And we thought, in light of that, that we actually needed our own independent expertise to help us go through, sift through the information, the data that they had, and that's why we took on the people that we did.
Right, I say that because you said over the Air New Zealand Clingers, which was a week or so back, that the company appears to be hell-bent on replacing its loyal and hard-working clingers with contractors, probably as a cost-cutting move, so there's still other people going to be affected by job losses in other parts of New Zealand, aren't there?
Well, there are, and in fact, you'll be aware of the announcement this morning of up to another 500 jobs that they want to cut out of the organisation, so it won't stop there, and the issue won't stop, and I think we've got a management in Air New Zealand now that sees a very simple solution to issues in the business, and that is you just chop people out of it. Now, I'm not sure that is the way to go.
Okay, and the other thing, while they seem to be chopping people out of it, I was just looking and noticing that they had 523 credit cards that don't seem to have any limit on them. Do you think perhaps they could be looking around other aspects of Air New Zealand to make...
I'm sure there are, and we know that one of the things that's come out of the engineering thing is that there's a lot more sort of supervisory and management positions are going. We said all along that we think that there's real issues about the kind of top-heavy corporate nature of Air New Zealand. We think that that's an area that was, you know, that should be properly reviewed, and so I mean anything like that. That maximises the people at the front line who are actually doing the work and minimises those who, albeit no doubt got very helpful ideas, that actually aren't helping passengers, you know, on airplanes and so on, is that, you know, those sorts of roles have got to be looked at.
Okay, and just a couple of quick ones to end with. I was watching TVNZ's news coverage after the vote, this is earlier in the week, and Owen Poland, the reporter, said that the vote went against, you know, the proposal in Christchurch because the workers didn't want to give up their big incomes. Do they have big incomes in Christchurch?
I don't know. I don't know why it would be reported that way. That's certainly not anything that the unions have said. And B, I don't know what the levels of incomes are in Christchurch or in anywhere. That's not the issue that we focused on. We focused on the issues about the volume of work that engineering is facing over the next 5 to 10 years and building a set of systems and rosters that, that meet those particular needs. And looking at certainly what the levels of income are that are provided for in the existing collective agreement and keeping those rolling in allowances and building a remuneration package that that gives stability of income, continues to provide for overtime rates and what have you.
Right, and the other thing was Air New Zealand was spending about $38,000 on workplace staff and stress a year or so back. Do you think that may have to rise this year?
Well, I know for a fact, I was told yesterday that in Christchurch on Wednesday alone around 15 guys had to go home just for stress-related sort of reasons because of the environment down there, certainly this week. So I'd imagine there's going to be, that budget might have to be inflated quite significantly. I think, knowing too, talking to other Air New Zealand staff, there is a real sense of anxiety around that, around the whole of Air New Zealand, because people just don't know what's happening and where the axe might fall next. So I suspect a lot more assistance and support is going to be required for Air New Zealand employees over the next wee while.
Now, management have stated that they remain committed to making every effort to assist staff during this difficult time. More than 220 staff have undertaken the CV writing course, and over 200 have had interview skill and financial planning training. So what do you think of that?
Well, nice, very nice to do that, but at the end of the day, you know, what we're focused on is, you know, we want a good airline that treats their staff well, treats them properly, and has a future. So nice to get those sorts of skills and that sort of training, but we also got to focus on, you know, what's good and what's right for Air New Zealand.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time there, Andrew.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
Cheers, mate.
See you, bye.